Listen to some of the young people walking in today. It's Wednesday. So we are almost at that point where we're halfway done with the week. And after today's school, you can say, yes, 3 days are done. Only 2 days left until Saturday, where I can procrastinate and not do my homework, you know, that I was assigned on Friday until early Monday morning, right? And just joking, please don't listen to what I just said or encourage you to do. But anyway, it's good to see you. How are you? Man, look at all these guys. I like the thumbs up. Amen. All right, so do we have first grade in here? First grade? No first graders? Any kindergarten? Kindergarten. You know my son David is in kindergarten. Yep. Do you guys do a Becca video or a Becca curriculum? Or yep, David does the Becca video. Is that what you do specifically? Or is it just, do you teach? Okay, wonderful. So he's on day like 106 or something. He got an early start. I didn't mean to discourage you. But anyway, so we have only 60 some odd days left and things, but he's having a blast, and he's gotten over the hump of reading, you know, and my wife was rather proactive with him and things when in pre-K. It wasn't an official grade or anything, but she did some things with him and such. But anyway, Becca, of course, has a wonderful way, and unique way to teach children phonics and the alphabet and, of course, reading. And so he relearned a few things, but now that he's gotten over that, he is just launching forward and excited about that. And so I believe that readers are leaders. And it's important for us to be able to glean as much as we can. And man, as you guys are kindergartners, you learn that stuff. And then those of you back here who know how to read, you apply yourself to that stuff. Amen? But so we probably got all the grades in between. And let's see, who's in second grade? Third grade. Fourth grade. Fifth grade. Sixth grade. Seventh grade. Eighth grade. Tenth grade. Ninth grade. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean that. 11th grade. Yes, and 12th grade, dun, dun, dun. All right, there it is, the upperclassmen, amen? And so, but just to then go down to the grade of freshman when you go into college and then sophomore, you know, my dad used to tell me all the time, both in high school and he had to remind me in college, that sophomore simply is an abbreviation for sophisticated moron. And that made me feel real good about myself, you know, but anyway, it's good to see you and it's been a joy to be with you this week. I love children. I love young people. I still seek to classify myself as a young person, somewhat, and also a child at heart. And so now with three kids, 5, 3, and 20 months, you know, it just brings that kid out all again. And whenever birthday time rolls around or Christmas time rolls around or any time Dad feels good rolls around, I'm trying to figure out a way to justify how can I spend money out of my budget on this for my children, because you know that it's going to wind up in the hands of Dad, so that way he can enjoy it as well. But anyway, children are an heritage of the Lord, and God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And so many times you say, what has this to do with anything? I don't know, but maybe just something that you can stick in the back of your mind. So many times people say, well, this is how many kids I want. But I don't believe that's full surrender. The question should be, how many kids does God want you to have? Now, that's different for everybody. Could be one, could be two, could be 10, could be 5. I have no idea. It's between you and the Lord. Ain't my business. Amen. So that's something that God had convicted me about here a handful of years ago. And we have 3, and we desire more than 3 if God will allow. So pray for us for that. But anyway, thinking about that song here in this fall, just a handful of months ago, first time I ever thought of it, first time I ever heard this, the pastor got up after the song leader had led the congregation in I Surrender All. He said, could it be, church, that we're actually saying and we're actually living, I surrender some? I never thought about that, you know? I probably sung that song, you know, 2,000 times, you know, growing up in church 9 months before I was born. All right, how many of you have grown up in church? You grow up in a Christian home. All right, very good. Raise those hands proudly into the air. Amen. Praise God for that and things. But listen, I don't know how, but I never thought of it that way. You know, here's my life, Lord. Take it. But only 90% of it. I've got 10% reserved for myself in case, as a backup plan, you know, as a plan B in case you fail me. No. But rather we find that exhortation of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Every single aspect, every single nook and cranny, amen. Every single situation and circumstance, every decision, crossroads, choice, whatever you want to call it, classify it in life, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Right. I mean, it's so easy to, you know, get infected with the worrywart disease. and be like, oh man, what about the future, this and that and the other? I don't know of, man, who am I going to marry? What am I going to do for a living? My vocation, my occupation, where am I going to go to college and this and that? What are the specifics of the will of God? And you could literally be like a dog chasing his tail, going around in circles, you know, and you are frantic and you're frazzled. That's not what the Lord would have us to do. Rather, I want you to see this. Turn your Bibles. I had no intention of going here, but I think this is good for us. Let's go to the book of Psalm 37, quickly. Psalm 37. This is wonderful. Thank the Lord here today for this. Psalm 37, verse number 1 down to verse number 7. And this is, of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This passage of Scripture has been a help to me ever since I was a teenager, 13, 14 years old. And for the teenagers in this room, you know, this is a difficult time of life. And you know why that is? There's a lot of growing pains in every aspect. And it's when you're transitioning from boyhood to manhood. Now understand, guys, there's a difference between being an adult male and adult man. There is a difference. And God is looking for men. And there's a difference between being an adult female and a woman. A virtuous, chaste, godly young lady that the Lord would have you to be. And that should be your desire, to be that, a godly man, a godly woman, as He would have you to be according to His Word. So it's a difficult time because, you know, you're advancing and you're growing in things, and may the Lord help you at this time to be able to develop that character and be who you should be, and the characteristics and the qualities that you're learning. Putting away really the childish things and the kids, things you used to do as a kid. You know, you say like, I'm 17, you know, right, Brother Garrett, and I'm not playing necessarily with the action figures anymore. So I go home to go play with the action figures. And I can't wait, you know, and I leave them set up in my room just perfectly and telling all my younger siblings, don't touch them, you know, or break your fingers. I mean, no, but you don't do that anymore, do you, Brother Garrett? Unless your arm is twisted and your younger sibling says, you got to play with me. You told me, you promised, right? I mean, you know, you don't do that necessarily anymore. You're putting away childish things. I mean, I enjoyed playing video games as a kid. There's nothing wrong with playing video games as long as it doesn't cause you to sin, lead you to sin. There's good types of video games. There's bad type of video games. I believe that. We should play the right ones. But at the same time, it should not consume us and take the preeminence. But rather, it should have its time and place. My parents would only allow me to play an hour a day. That's so mean and cruel of them, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. But only an hour a day. If I was an extra good boy, depending on different things, it would give me extra dockets of 15 minutes. And if I was a bad boy, they would take away in the docket of 15 minutes. And there was some days I only had 15 minutes to be able to play, but I played fast and furious those 15 minutes if I could. Some days, I couldn't play at all. Because I had done my fair share, not only of getting disciplines, but on top of the spanking was the docket of 15 minutes deducted from my game time. But anyway, you know, I enjoyed playing video games, but guess what? Doesn't even faze me. It's like, don't know, messing around with that, you know? And it's interesting how that you grow up, you seem to get out of that. And God is looking for young men of character and young women who are going to grab a hold of this aspect of life, and that we would trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And notice now, if we can finally get to it, in Psalm 37, verse number 1 down to verse number 7, the Bible says, fret not thyself, or don't get bent out of shape. Don't be consumed with jealousy, or don't even be bothered. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know what that's talking about? You see all these people, especially out in Hollywood, and all these, you know, musicians and folks in pop culture, and even those who may be living a wicked lifestyle, and you can see how they have all the fast cars and the big homes and the fat bank accounts and this, that, and the other. It seems like they've got it made in the shade drinking pink lemonade. Look at them. They're just so well off, and look at me. Trying to figure out life and, man, just scraping by. Especially, I like preaching this when it comes to adults, you know, because we're really in the gear of life and the grind of life. And a lot of you in this room, you have no idea what it means to pay an insurance payment for your health or a house payment or having to provide the school bill or the car payment, all the stuff that comes with life. And the reason I'm mentioning it now is because it's so wonderful. If you can get the victory and you can develop the character and the heart and the stamina to develop this in your life now, to not be worried about, not fret, not be jealous about the world, it's going to help you when you're my age, at 31. To set a habit, to set character, to not fret, but rather have faith, knowing that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I would rather have my steps ordered by the Lord than some 10-point philosophy of the world, amen, trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, my wife and I, we've been to California a number of times with meetings, and years ago, I'd say, let's see here, probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we decided to, before we had children, we decided to take a open bus tour of, excuse me, I just lost my balance, that was weird. We decided to take an open tour bus through Hollywood, you know, all these big homes and stuff, and we saw the most expensive mansion there and things, and this is where, you know, Tom Cruise lives, and this is where, I can't even name all the stars, this is where so-and-so lives, and this and that and the other, and the tour guide had no idea, but as he was giving this tour, he was confirming unto me what I knew and what I believed, what I had already been preaching for many years in my life. Say, well, this is where so-and-so lived. And he received this Emmy Award or this accolade or had a platinum album, but unfortunately he died from a drug overdose at the age of 35. And as we're pulling down this boulevard, this was actually the nightclub where so-and-so performed, but yeah, it was at, you know, a certain time when he was in his mid-20s that he was shot by a drive-by shooting. Or this is where so-and-so lived, and it was like, oh, this is wonderful, look at this, but then it ended in a sad ending that we're just going to kind of quietly mention and then move on. Frequently, time and again, probably 8 out of 10 times, that's what happened if you finish the story. Why? Because the Bible teaches us that the ungodly shall be cut down like the grass. They'll have their moment where it seems like they're flourishing, they've got the fame and they've got the finances, but then it's all gone, it's for naught. Why would we want an experience like that? Amen. But rather, may we as God's people be consumed with, as we preach to the night, if you were listening or if you caught on to it, that we would lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. That we would lay up for ourselves gold, silver, and precious stones. And let's keep reading here. He says in verse number 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. They have their moment, a flash in the pan. It's there, but then it fades away so quickly. Rather, as God's people, verse number 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, or without a shadow of a doubt, thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What are we finding here? Well, we find that the Bible teaches us that we need to rely upon God. Amen? Rely upon God. I need somebody strong. Brother Saxon, come on up here. Amen? Come on up here, Brother Saxon. Huh? Okay. He's going to be the Lord. You were the devil. Now I got to restore you and make you the Lord. So that way you're balanced out. Okay? So this is relying upon the Lord. Please don't drop me. All right, I'm going to come and I'm going to lean on you. All right? Ready? 207 pounds of C the G. Caleb Garraway is relying upon Brother Saxton. Are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay. I need a mint. I'm sorry. No. Okay, push me back. All right. Now, what was I doing? I was completely depending on him to not drop me. Thank you for not doing that. And guess what? Guess what you need to do in your life, son? Ready? This is the Lord. This is you. With the choices, the unforeseen future, the things of life, for every person in this room, this beautiful young lady here and this wonderful young lady here, every single person in this room, ready? All right, God, man, I see the world and I see this and that, and it seems like they haven't made, but you know what? It is but for a season. The pleasures of sin are but for a season, a starting point and a stopping point, as we preached about on Saturday at the youth rally. But God, you give pleasures forevermore, and God, I want what you have, and you know what? I could try to figure out life on my own, but in the end, I'm just going to frustrate myself because I can't see the future, but you know what's best. All right, Lord, I'm excited. Here we go. Woo! Oh, wow. And he'll be able to sustain you and help you the entire way. There's nothing more, and that's actually pretty comfortable. Let's do that again. It's like I'm floating. Amen. All right, push me back. Thank you. You can have a seat. I won't make it any more awkward. One more time. No, just joking. Okay, rely. Are you doing that? Completely, totally surrendered. No backup plans. No ulterior motives. No, okay, here, as I've already mentioned, here's God, 95% of my heart and life, and you have everything. Aren't you satisfied that you have the majority? Aren't you content? Here it is. But just let me keep this, just in case. Oh, how foolish that is. And may that not be once named among us as God's children, as God's people. Amen. But rely upon the Lord. What do we find? We find he says, trust in the Lord and do good. You know, if we want to see the blessings of God, the fullness of God in our life, we need to rely upon him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But number two, we must remain right before God and do good. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Now, help me out. You look smart. You got glasses fired up, sharp, you know, the tie, pen in the pocket. Just push them up the bridge of the nose. What does all mean? What does all mean? Everybody with the glasses are really smart, I see. No. It means everything. There is no exception. There's no exemption. Are you with me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And as young people, I'm just going to be honest, and this is what I'm finding, honestly, across America in camps, conferences, rallies, all this stuff. We find young people who are filling up the pews, and they're seeking the kingdom of God, but it's not first. Many times, as you know, we're, you know, different meetings and whatnot, I like to get to know the young people and things, and every once in a while, if I'm able to, I like to ask them, hey, what are you going to do with your life? And just to try to get know more about them and just see what the dream is, if you will. And then, not as a sucker punch, if I can spit it out, but rather as just a thought-provoking thing. At the end of the conversation, I always mention, you know, when they give an answer of, I would like to do this or that or the other, I say, you know, that's wonderful. But I just want to ask you, are you sure that's what God would have you to do with your life? And before you pursue that, can I encourage you, make sure that's what God would have you to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek what God would have you to do first. You want to be a doctor? Have you prayed about it? Do you have the peace of God that passes all understanding? A police officer, a lawyer, politician. I mean, the list goes on and on. We need people like that. Because God can use you effectively to reach so many and touch so many lives for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I mean, it is incredible. There's no safer place and there's no better place to be than in the center of God's perfect will. So many times people say, well, you know, God didn't call me to preach, you know. God doesn't want me to be a missionary or an evangelist or this or that or the other. I guess I'm not as important in God's lineup of things. Where do you find that in the Bible? That is a lie from the slithery serpent of Satan. I believe that. God is no respecter of persons. We're all special in his sight. I was created by God, so are you, and God makes no mistakes. Amen? And God has a beautiful potential and purpose for your life, and you need to grab a hold of that and stop this fundamentalist caste system mentality that unfortunately, it's never said or talked about, but I believe it's there. It's like, well, we got the preacher boys, and the young ladies, this and that, and then we got this system, and then we got this system, and we got this. No. We're all special in the sight of God, and every single person from the pulpit to the pew needs to find out what the perfect will of God is and pursue that, because that is where you'll be able to flourish and grow and reach your full potential. If it is to be in the ministry, praise God. If it is to do this, that, or the other, here it is. God wants us all to be full-time Christians. And understand this, young lady, whatever it is that God has for you in your life, you will be able to reach people that the young lady next to you will never be able to reach. And vice versa. There's people that she's going to be able to reach that she's never probably going to meet in her life. And God is casting us abroad. Amen? Almost like a special forces team to infiltrate this old world, to steer it back in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. And embrace the call of God. Amen. Desire to do what God would have you to do. and nothing else. Trust in the Lord, rely upon God, remain right before God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Amen. I like that promise, don't you? All these things shall be added unto you. There's so many other verses that could be mentioned here today. Matthew 5:16, Psalm 106, verse number 3, Psalm 5, verse number 12, Psalm 37, verse number 25. Do you get the idea? We also see here in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. It means rejoice, rejoice in God's plans for your life. I know that sounds weird, because so many times if we're not careful, we'll have this, I guess we could call it self-will. Like, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. And here's the deal. God has given you a free will. You can choose to do whatever it is that you want to do. I mean, right now, if you wanted to, you could do a jumping jacks in the middle of chapel. You could try to do a handstand on the platform and burp quarters. You can do whatever it is that you want to try to do. Now, there'll be consequences, right? Just like if somebody was to do jumping jacks right now on a pew in the auditorium as I'm preaching, I'm guessing there's going to be consequences, right? And as foolish as that may be, understand that there are consequences for the choices you make in life. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. God has given you a free will. Wise is the person who will come back to that song, that hymn of the faith, I surrender all. Man, Lord, it's amazing, and it's mind-blowing and boggling that you have entrusted unto me my life. But you know what, Lord? I understand that I can make a mess of things real quick, and I have dreams and goals and desires, and I have all sorts of ambitions. But God, I know, as we preached about this week in the revival meeting, that your thoughts toward me are far beyond my own. And even though I have this exciting ambition that yours, I mean, this is little leagues, and yours is major leagues. I mean, it's awesome. I don't want to just sit over this. I want that way up there. I'm going to rejoice in your plans for me. I'm excited. And I can't wait to see it become a reality. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What else does it say in verse number 5? Who's looking at their Bibles? Look at it, look at it, look at it. Commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Number 4, we need to resolve to do what God would have us to do. You know, it's one thing to say something. It's one thing to fill out a decision card. It's one thing to mention it, but it's another thing to do it. It's easy to say, but it's hard to live. The commitment. Amen? Like, I am going to do this. That determination, that tenacity, kind of like a bulldog, you know, it has that locked jaw and it clamps down on its victim. I mean, on that, you know, wonderful chewy toy. And, you know, you cannot pry that thing out of its jaws for nothing. I mean, and this is crazy, and that's fine. I'm just going to say it anyway. But there have been cases where dogs like that have bitten people and their jaws are so tight that nothing can pry that mouth open, that they have to cut that dog's head off in order to take that jaw apart. That's very graphic, isn't it? Very graphic, right? That is the kind of tenacity that we should have and the resolve we should have. That we are so committed to the will of God that nothing can separate us from that. To the death. Amen? To the death! I mean, in generations past, we've seen that kind of character, that kind of commitment, that people were willing to go to the stake and be burnt alive. God, I believe, gives martyr grace. And you'll find as people were being burned, which to me, I'm thinking, man, goodness gracious, that'd be crazy to like get burned to the stake alive, right? But amazing to hear the countless testimonies of people who were being burned by the flames, but yet were laughing and singing and rejoicing. And that blows my mind, you know, it really does. But if God could speak the word and suspend the stars and the heavens, don't you think that he could for a moment, in a time of suffering, eliminate the sense of pain as a reward for a child who is willing to give their life as a sacrifice and as a martyr? I believe that. I do. I mean, I just accept it for face value just because of testimonies. It's interesting, isn't it? That we would have that kind of a resolve, that kind of commitment. We have young people that say one thing, but really, are you going to live it? As my dad would say with his thick Brooklyn accent, he's 72, I've already mentioned him, he says, put your money where your mouth is. You've got to talk, and it's a big one. Now start living and start walking it. I believe that every single young person that we should surrender our lives to the Lord. Supposedly I got saved when I was 4 years old. When I was 8, I realized, you know what, I don't remember that. It was not a personal encounter with Christ. And I was, after I was 4, you know, I was about 6, and I began to dawn upon me, you know, this and that. And I just realized I couldn't deal with it anymore because I understood that salvation was not between me and my mom or me and my dad and the Lord. It was between me and God. And I decided to settle that. And I believe the day I got saved was not supposedly the age of 4, but the age of 8, when I remember the specific interchange with the Lord Jesus Christ when I personally cried out and called upon Him to be my Savior. Now, having said that, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation, but if I may initially mention, if you do not remember, I'm not saying a specific, okay, I remember the minute it was on the clock and the date is this. I mean, if you can, great, wonderful. I mean, I wouldn't even remember the date if it wasn't for my parents writing it down. I mean, I wouldn't, but I have the memory. And you may not remember the moment, meaning the minute, the time, the date, but do you remember that meeting with Christ? Do you remember that moment when you had that salvation experience? And if you don't know that for sure, you need to take care of that today. I urge you to do that. But then, when I was a 9-year-old boy, I decided to surrender my life to the Lord. I made that decision. God, I am going to give you my entire heart. You have it all. I find it interesting because then, when I was 10, at a youth meeting, youth conference in Oklahoma, God called me into full-time Christian service. It's like, wow, this is so wonderful. And man, I was so excited. And man, the way the Holy Spirit was working in my heart and life, I had no idea what it was, you know. And it's like, it's so glorious, so wonderful, you know. And just that sweet release of going to an altar and woo! I mean, it was just a sacred moment, you know, 10-year-old boy. And then I remember when I was 10, I led my first soul to the Lord as well. That was wonderful. And then when I was 11, and for me, it just was kind of a domino effect. I don't know why some people, it doesn't happen so quickly, but when I was 11, God called me to preach. Man, there was something so marvelous that was manifested in my life there at pastor school on a Thursday night after Brother Hiles preached, and it was just incredible. And even there in my youth, I began to realize that God had something specific for me. I had no idea what it was, and this is why. When the invitation was given, Brother Hiles mentioned there behind the pulpit, he said, if God is calling you to preach and you know that you will be preaching with an ear somewhere, pastoring a church, this, that, or the other, etc., he said, come forward. Of course, I was only 11, so I'm like, well, that's not me, you know. He said, if you're going to be pastoring a church in the next 5 years, I don't remember the specific wording. I think this is something along the lines of what he said. 5 years, come forward, God has called you to preach. And there was men, people that were going forward. They said, if God has called you to preach and you feel that impression of the Holy Spirit of God that God is going to have you pastoring a church in the next 10 years, come forward. Here I am, 11-year-old boy. I'm counting. Okay, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Okay. Okay, I'm going to graduate high school when I'm 17, Lord willing. And then I'm going to go to college. And by the time I graduate college, okay, I'll be 21. Man, yeah, I think I could be probably pastoring a church by then. That'll probably happen, you know. And I was so close, so ready to go forward, but something was holding me back, almost like an invisible force was just pulling me back. And I believe in the pulling and the moving and the staying hand of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that. Call me weird, I believe it. I didn't go forward. I'm glad I didn't. Because the next question was, if God has called you to preach. You have no idea what God's going to have you to do, but God has called you to preach, come forward. And I joined the tidal wave of those who came down rushing to the altar. I mean, it was such a sacred moment. I don't even remember what I did at the altar. I'm sure I prayed with someone. Also, I remember as I was weeping, it was like, you know, snot everywhere. Oh, you know, I'm just joking. But I mean, I was weeping. I was running down that altar as an 11-year-old boy. And I remember the last thing I remember was there was someone standing in the aisle because they had chairs everywhere. And there was someone who patted me on the back and said, good going, son. You know, and there I was going, running to the altar. I can't wait to meet whoever that was. Left an impression on my heart. I have no idea who it was. I went to the altar and surrendered to preach, but little did I know that God would have me go into evangelism. It's funny, when I surrendered to the Lord and God called me to preach at the age of 11, I remember afterward, I said, yeah, I know God has called me to preach, but I don't want to be a missionary. I forgot all about that. And then when I was in Bible college, and when I was 16, the Lord called me to evangelism, and I just said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, it was the same pressing of the Holy Spirit of God as when I was called to preach, and I said, Lord, if that's what you want, you're just going to have to figure that one out. And I didn't even worry about it, just decided, you know, it's all going to work out. I know the Lord will take care of it. And then when I went to Bible college, I figured, you know what, let me take a major of missions. I didn't even remember what I had talked about when I was 11. Let me take a major of missions, but then a minor of evangelism. I felt like the missions program was the strongest, and as an evangelist, I believe that if the Lord ever led me overseas to do things on the mission field, I should get some training, you know, and get some classes and just some little pointers and such, so that way I can apply them when I go to the field for a couple weeks here or there. So I took that major of missions, minor of evangelism, and I was a sophomore in college when God reminded me and convicted me of how I told him, thank you for calling me to preach, but I don't want to be a missionary. And I realized that God didn't have my whole heart. It was after a message by a gentleman by the name of Rick Dawson. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. And Brother Dawson said, yeah, he was preaching at a youth conference, had no notes, you know, just preaching from his Bible and things. And he was just, I don't know why the Lord wants me to say this. I was a sophomore in college, okay? I was, you know, one of the singers on the tour group and you know, one of the college students and things involved with the young people at this youth conference. And he said, I don't know why the Lord's having me to go this way, but I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to direct me here. And he said, I was pastoring and I realized that God didn't have my whole heart. How that I was resisting, if you will, missions and things of this nature. And he said, it was, and I'm abbreviating the story, he said, and during a service at another conference, God was convicting me about surrendering to the call of missions. He said, Lord, why would you do that? I'm a pastor. He said, but then it dawned on me that God didn't have my whole heart. So I decided as a pastor of a thriving church at this conference to go forward and surrender my life to missions. Meaning that God, here is my life. Let me see if I can pull this out as an example. I have here's my life. It's a blank sheet of paper. There's no pre-existing terms or conditions. But rather, I'm going to wipe it clean. And God, if you would have me to go to the mission field, I am ready. You can have that part of my life and my heart too. He said it was then that I was able to truly experience liberty and the fullness of God and the Lord be able to do wonderful things in my life. He said, I've not been called to go to the mission field specifically, but I'm surrendered to go if that's what God would have me to do tomorrow. I'm ready. God convicted me. And as a sophomore in college, 19-year-old, you know, punk, if you will. But anyway, I decided, you know what? I'm going to surrender to that call as well. I surrendered to the call to missions. I'm ready to go tomorrow if that's what God would have. I think it was because God didn't have my whole heart. Young people, why do I ramble all of that, a little bit of a personal testimony? Why? Because I just want to make sure that God has all your heart, amen? That you don't say, okay, here, you can do this, God, and I'm ready to do this, but I don't want to do that. Please don't do that. Make sure he has all your heart. And as you have relinquished yourself, that you would resolve to do what God would have you to do and nothing else, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Read now, because we're concluding now. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. I believe this is insinuating that your potential will be drawn out, and you will see God demonstrate himself in a wonderful way in your life. Because notice, verse number 6 is not teaching us that you are going to do this, but rather God is doing this. Amen? And God is taking your heart, and God is taking your walk with Him, and God is taking your testimony, and God is taking your potential, and He's causing it to flourish where it's bright, it's beautiful, it's glorious. As light, as the noonday. Verse number 7, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. This is what we all started with here. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Young people today, if there's anything that I could challenge you here in this message, it is to rest. To not fret. And to the adults here as well. Amen. Just like this beautiful young lady with her little Red Riding Hood jacket is just sleeping with her eyes open. Amen. You're so beautiful. She's resting. That we would rest. Soak up the paddedness of God's hand. Amen. Just like there's wonderful padding there in the pew. Oh, it's so wonderful to be able to cuddle. I love it. Cuddle with God. Cuddle with Christ. Rest. I love cuddling with my wife. Amen. All the young people are now sliding underneath the pew in embarrassment. And all the men in the room, when they're saying, amen, amen. It's wonderful. Just resting and just communing and talking and just what a blessing it is. And to think that we can embrace with God. And we could look up into His eyes and whisper those words tenderly into His ear, Abba, Father. If you read your devotions this morning, there you'd find in, at least where I'm at in my Bible reading, I'm in Proverbs 18. I'm on a different program. If you were reading your Bible this morning, it was probably in Proverbs 24. But the last verse of Proverbs 18 was, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Are you burdened about your future, about what you're supposed to do? And really, as you get older, young people, and especially as youth, there's so much that lies ahead of you. And I know you don't want to mess it up. And you won't. Isn't that a blessing? You are guaranteed to not make a mistake if you rest. But patience is the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do, to wait on God's timing. But we find His promise time and again. Study that, waiting on the Lord. In the Bible, and you will find promises tethered with that. Even the youths shall be faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's talking about revival. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What does that mean? You're not, you know, driving down the road, experiencing the status quo and all the traffic that can get bogged down here in the roads, but rather you are soaring above the clouds. I mean, you're soaring. Amen. I want to soar. I want to experience the heavenly and the glorious. Transcend the status quo. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But it only happens when you rest and you wait on God's timing. Young people, if I could just remind in conclusion here, rely upon God. Remain right before God. Rejoice in the plans that He has for you. Resolve to do what God would have you to do. Rest in the hand of God. He will give you a peace that passes all understanding. What is it today that you're struggling with? What could it be that you have not yet given to the Lord? Come unto me, and this is the last verse I'll quote, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What is the burden that you're bearing? The thing that you're worried about. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sweet, glorious rest. Take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? Well, just embrace my will, my way, my work, what I would have you to do according to my word. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Just sit at my feet and soak up as much biblical truth. Walk with me, talk with me, have a relationship with me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. It's wonderful, young people, and may that be your heart's desire. Just simple truths in chapel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us now as we look at our future. I pray that this will just reinforce what they've heard, I'm sure, scores and scores of times. God, I know maybe it's just coming from a different voice, and maybe there's something here today that would sink in a little bit deeper. God, some statement that was given, a truth that was drawn out from your word that has taken the nails and hammering them in to even be more secure into the hearts and minds of the precious young people here today. God, it's so wonderful. I'm so excited to be able to look into their eyes and see the potential that lies here. Lord, I pray that you please just help every young person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, to have a surrendered heart. Not to say, I surrender some, but I surrender all, and truly live what they sing, live what they say. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I would like for us to do business with God today. I'm going to move this little lectern, this little pulpit.